guilty about it, as this is my desire only. And in fact, all of you, the Prajapatis, including Lord Shiva, Brahma, etc., you all are my expansions only. And you carry out this act of expanding your the population on my behalf. So therefore, you don't have to feel guilty about this desire of yours. And then, of course, Srila Vishnu Thakur also says that to Kardam Muni, even though he expressed that I am Udvodu Kama, I desire a wife, and the Supreme Lord said, yes, why not? And he says, Swayambhu Manu will come and he will offer his daughter to you. You please accept. And then at the end, he also offered that in the end, you will retire and come back to me. You know, you practice bhakti and come back to me like that. Here in this case, for Daksha, he just benedicts, the Lord just benedicts that he would actually get the opportunity to, progenitate, to become a progenitor and create population. The reason being, first thing, he Kardam Muni had very slight Karma Mishra desire, but Daksha had a lot. And second was that the residual effect of offending the greatest of all devotees, Lord Shiva, was still lingering around his head. So therefore, it was not appropriate for him to, you know, without that being offset, you know, he cannot practice pure devotional service, because most likely he must have severely leaked out his Sukriti, and he must have developed a lot of negative Agyata Sukriti or Agyata Dushkriti. Therefore, Namam Dushkriti no Muda Prapadyante Naradama. It is impossible for such people to actually actually surrender to Krishna completely. So therefore, Daksha, the Supreme Lord, neither did Daksha ask, nor did the Supreme Lord feel like offering pure devotional service to Daksha. So this is where we ended our discussion last time. So if I'm sorry, on Friday we had some internet issues, which may happen on other Fridays also, because generally on Friday they have some, because we have power cut also, and on that day they do some maintenance work on the Jio tower also. So it may happen, not every Friday, but once in a while on Fridays we may have issues with our internet. If that happens, I'll let you know. But interestingly, on Friday, exactly between 10:45 to 12 o'clock, only the internet issue was there. Exactly at 12 o'clock, internet was restored. Maybe it was Krishna's plan, I don't know. Okay, so are there any quick questions based on what we discussed last time, so that we can take for a few seconds before we move on to today's section, last section?
No problem. Only one question.
Yeah, who else?
Jay.
Yes, bro.
Yeah, like we have seen previous some verses that Lord is so much pleased with Daksha. He is telling that means Lord is approving that what Daksha is doing is the desire of the Lord only. So means Lord is pleased. So it is not a pure devotional service that way.
Yeah. You didn't attend one of the earlier classes, I think. So we did discuss this point. Hari Bhakti Prabhu raised the same point. So the Lord is pleased, but it is like it is not like the Lord getting pleased is not like a person being pleased with his child, with his child's affection. You know, it's not that kind of pleasing, not that kind of being pleased. It is just like you can say a bank manager being pleased with a client who has repaid his loan, which he owes to the bank. So that is also a kind of, you know, pleasure only. That, okay, at least this person has not defaulted. This person, you know, he's not going to, you know, evade the loan or something like that. So that is also in one kind, in one sense, like some kind of pleasure, relief like that. But that is, that pleasure cannot be compared to the pleasure that the same bank manager might feel when he goes back home and a small child comes and jumps into his lap and starts playing with him. You know, that kind of pleasure is a different kind of pleasure. So the fact that Daksha follows the rules and regulations of the Shastras, and he is willing to play the role of Prajapati, which also is essentially needed for, you know, generating population. For that purpose, the Supreme Lord is pleased. But that is not like, but that pleasure is different from the Lord being pleased due to, because of getting an opportunity to play with Sridhama or Subal, or, you know, eat Mother Yashoda's cooked bhoga, or play with Nanda Maharaj. You know, that kind of pleasure is a totally different kind of pleasure. Is that okay, Jayadeepu?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Anything else before we move ahead? Okay. So, we will move ahead. 46th verse. And the Supreme Lord is going to speak to Daksha, a verse which is very similar to the verse spoken by whom? Tapome hridayam brahmam stanur vidya kriyakritihi angani kratavo jata dharma atma savasuraha. Tapome hridayam brahman. Do you recognize a similar verse somewhere?
Vishnu is praising to Brahmaji.
Correct. Second canto. Tapome hridayam sakshad. He says a similar verse. So, where when the Supreme Lord expresses to Brahmaji that the you know, tapasya is, I get my viryam me duscharam tapaha. I get my power to create, maintain and destroy only because of tapasya, he says. And this tapasya is very dear to my heart, like that Brahmaji, the Supreme Lord tells Brahmaji. And something similar here, he is telling to Daksha also. O Brahmana, tapo me hridayam, austerity is my heart. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras constitute my body. Vidya tanuhu, kriya akritihi, and daily and occasional rites are my form. Sacrifices are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from sacrifice constitutes my mind, and the devatas are my life heirs. You see, this is description of the form of the Lord which suits a person who is who has karmanishta. Like the form of the Lord is, this is the form of the Lord who is personified Yajnamurti. Like the description of Varahadev in the third canto. So if you remember, you know, similar description is there, where it is mentioned, you know, the ladle that is used for offering sacrifice is one of the limbs of his body. The mantras are one of the limbs. Ghee is one of the limbs. The sacrificial fire is one of the limbs. The hota, udgata, advaryu, and all these kinds of priests, they form various parts of the body of the Lord. And the results of those sacrifices are different limbs of Varahadev, like that. A description of Varaha as the Yajnamurti was described. Similarly, here, if you see, the Lord himself says, instead of telling, you know, the devotees are sadavo hridayam muhyam sadunam hridayam toham madanyatena jananti naham tebhyo nagapi. You know, that kind of a description. He says, oh, austerity, you know, the austerity that you take to perform the sacrifice, that is my heart. and the Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras, that is my body, the daily and occasional rites, the nitya and naimittika karma that a karmanishta person practices, it is my form, and the sacrifices are the various limbs of my body, and whatever results come due to that practice of sacrifice, that constitutes my mind, and the devatas are my life heirs. Like that he speaks, which seems like a description which very much would be very attractive to a person who has karmanishta actually. And Srila Vishnu Jagadakur speaks something very similar. Hear of my form according to karma yoga. The karma yogis see the form of the Lord in this way. So it's not that the karma yogis don't have an understanding of Krishna. They have an understanding of Krishna which is quite partial, incomplete understanding. This understanding is not wrong. This understanding is not a non-Vedic understanding. It's a certainly approved Vedic understanding. But this is not the highest conception of the absolute truth. Austerity in the form of yama and niyama is my heart. Knowledge with chanting of mantras is my body. Daily and occasional rites are my form. Sacrifices are my limbs or head. The results generated from sacrifice are my mind. My life heirs are the devatas. All these actions such as austerity are vibhutis of my body of eternity, knowledge and bliss. So, vibhutis means material counterparts. So, like for example, you can say a reflection is, you can say like a counterpart to the original form. But even though the nature of that reflection is completely different, like the body has fragrance, the reflection has no fragrance. The body can speak, the reflection independently cannot speak. And the reflection cannot create any sound. You cannot touch the reflection. You cannot feed the reflection. You cannot talk to the reflection. So in one sense, if you see the reflection, even though born of the even though he is born of the sun, its nature is quite different, even though it looks somewhat similar. So in the same way, things of this world are all vibhutis, as we see in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Vibhuti Yoga. So vibhuti means material counterparts. And those counterparts are like reflections. So counterparts means they have their partner in the spiritual world. Urdhva Moolam Adashakam Ashvattam Prahuravye. And as Prabhupada says, the reflecting surface in which that reflection of the reflected tree is manifest is actually the material minds or the material desires, like that, something like that Prabhupada says. So in that reflecting surface of material mind or desires, the reflection is seen. So even though the source of that reflection is spiritual and the reflection itself is material, that is true. Even that is how it is supposed to be. So even material world in a reflection has a significantly different nature compared to the original thing. But still the source of that reflection is the original object. And the reflecting surface is the mirror. Similarly, for this material world, the reflecting surface is our desires, material desires. And you do see a reflection which is actually a vibhuti of the Supreme God. Its original counterpart is there in the spiritual world. That's what here is indicated here by the Supreme Lord to Brahma, the Ashtabhuja form who manifests in front of Daksha. So he says, all these actions such as austerities are vibhutis of my body. So vibhutis means they are not born out of his Swarup Shakti. So Swarup Shakti, they are not products of Swarup Shakti. They are products of Maya Shakti. That's why they are called as vibhutis, reflections, like that. Okay. Any quick comments, questions before we move on to Srila Prabhupada's purport? Okay, if nothing is there, then Hari Bhakti Prabhu, you can read the purport.
Sometimes atheists argue that since God is invisible to their eyes, they do not believe in God. For them, the Supreme Lord is describing a method by which one can see God in his impersonal form. Intelligent persons can see God in his personal form as stated in the Shastras. But if one is very eager to see the Supreme Personality of God immediately face to face, he can see the Supreme Lord through this description, which portrays the various internal and external parts of his body. To engage in tapasya or denial of material activities is the first principle of spiritual life. Then there are spiritual activities such as the performance of Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, study of the Vedic knowledge, meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One should also respect the demigods and understand how they are situated, how they act, and how they manage the activities of the various departments of this material world. In this way, one can see how God is existing and how everything is managed perfectly because of the presence of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Maya Adhyakshena Prakruti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetunanena Kaunteya Jagat Viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and non-moving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. If one is unable to see the Supreme Lord, although he is present as Krishna in his various incarnations, one may see the Supreme Lord's impersonal feature according to the direction of the Vedas by seeing the activities of material nature. Anything done under the direction of the Vedic injunctions is called dharma, as described by the order carriers of Yamaraj 6.40. Veda pranihito dharmo yadharmas tadviparyayah vedo narayana sakshat svayambhur iti shushruma. That which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, the religious principles, and the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj. In this connection, Srila Madhavacharya comments, Tapo abhimani rudrastu Vishnu hridayamashrita vidya rupat dhaivoma Vishnu stanumupashrita shringaradhya kritikata kriyatma pakashasana angeshu kritava sarve madhidehe chidharmarat pranavayushchittagato brahmadya sveshu devataha. The various demigods are all acting under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and according to their various actions, the demigods are differently named.
Okay. Any comments? Okay. Let's move on to the next verse, which seems very similar to the first of the four Chatushlokis. We'll chant. Aham evasam evagre nanyat kinchataram bahihi samgyana matram avyaktam prasuptam iva vishvatah. Aham eva asam eva agre. I alone existed before the creation. I alone will exist after the creation, and I alone exist now. That is, so this aham evasam evagre first line is understood to indicate the whole verse of the first Chatushloki, because that's how the explanation has been given. I only existed before creation, I only exist after creation, and after destruction also I only exist. Nothing exists outside of me or inside of me. Na anyat kinchataram kincha antaram bahihi. Some jnana matram. I am also pure consciousness, avyaktam, imperceptible by the senses, sleeping, quiet as if sleeping, prasuptam iva, vishvataha, and all pervading. Okay. Let's see what Acharya said. Now, hear about my form according to Bhakti Yoga. So, the previous verse spoke about the form according to Karma Yoga. This is the form according to Bhakti Yoga. This form that you see with ornaments, cloth, Garuda, associates existed even before creation. I will exist after the destruction of the universe as well. Agre means both previous and in the future. This is according to grammar. And I exist even now. It is self-evident, of course. You know, he is seeing that Lord right in front of his eyes. This statement thus shows that the Lord exists in all three aspects of time. I have no interior or exterior. My limited form pervades everything. This shows the Lord's inconceivable power. So the point is, in one sentence, he is telling, my limited, because that's what Daksha is seeing, a form which is actually occupying a fixed space. It's a limited form, Madhyamakara form, as it is called. But at the same time, he says that this limited form of mind pervades everything. So this is inconceivable. How can a limited form pervade everything? So it is like asking, can you give me one square feet paper which can cover 1 kilometer, like that. So how can a 1 square feet paper cover 1 kilometer? Similarly, how can a limited form be all pervading like that? This is the inconceivable power of the Lord. So he quotes a verse from the 10th canto, 9th chapter. Nanchantar na bahiryasya na purvam na pichaparam purva param bahischantar jagato yo jagachayah tam matvatmajam avyaktam martyalingam madokshajam gopiko lukhale damna babanda prakritam yata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning and no end, no exterior and no interior, no front and no rear. In other words, he is all pervading because he is not under the influence of the elements of time. For him, there is no difference between past, present and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times. Being absolute, beyond relativity, he is free from distinctions between cause and effect, although he is the cause and effect of everything. That unmanifest person who is beyond the perception of the senses had now appeared as a human child, and Mother Yashoda, considering him her own ordinary child, bound him to the wooden mortar with a rope. Actually, of course, she did bind, but before binding, it took her meters of rope to bind Krishna, even though, in the morning only, in a small fist, the length that it takes to cover her, the circumference of her fist, with that length, kamar patti, she bound Krishna in the morning. Now the kamar is still the same size. It is not that he has become obese by now. Suddenly, it is the same, that fist size kamar only Krishna has. But still, kilometers and kilometers of ropes are not able to bind that form. Okay, that's what here the Lord is telling to Daksha also, that okay, my limited form pervades everything. Very, it's an oxymoron, nonsense. How can limited form pervade everything? So he gives the example of Damodar Leela. Now hear about my form according to Jnana Yoga. So the first two lines discusses about the form of the Lord according to Bhakti Yoga. Aham evasam evagre nanya kinchataram bahihi. And the next two lines discusses the form according to Jnana Yoga. I am consciousness alone. Some jnanam matram. I am not perceivable by the senses. But of course, that we also agree. Atha Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyehi. This first line, the jnanis also accept. But we say, Sevon Mukhehi Jihvadav Swayameva Spuratyadaha. But in a Sevon Muk tongue, in a Sevon Muk eye, in a Sevon Muk ears, they automatically manifest. So, But that complete realization the jnanis may not have, but at least they have understood that that the Supreme Lord is consciousness alone. It cannot be perceived by the senses. I pervade everything like that. Okay. Is there any quick comment, question based on what we have discussed in this verse?
No project.
Nothing? Okay. You had a feast today also?
No project.
Yes, yes.
Every day is a feast like that.
Every day is a feast, of course. Okay. Sure. You can read the purport.
The word aham indicates a person. As explained in the Vedas, nityo nityanam.
You see the contrast here. Prabhupada very nicely brings it out in the first line only. Aham indicates a person. Therefore, aham eva asam indicates the perception of bhakti. And then the first line, first word in the third line, you see, sam jnana matram. I am pure consciousness alone. This is the perception of the jnanis. So, in the first line only, Prabhupada brings out this point about aham indicates a person. Like that. Yeah.
As explained in the Vedas, nityo nityanam chetana shitananam, the Lord is the supreme eternal among all innumerable eternals and the supreme living being among the innumerable living beings. The Lord is a person who also has impersonal features. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, Padantidatta Tvavidas Tatram Yadmyanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavanki Shabdi. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. Consideration of Paramatma and impersonal Brahman arose after the creation. Before the creation, only Supreme Personality of God existed.
We need to understand this. How do you understand this?
Because Prabhuji, when the Visarga happened, that time only Brahmaji he gave the bodies to the living entities. So that time only Paramatma must have come into existence.
Okay. Anyone else would like to share some other perspective?
Posing like in spiritual world, only Lord is there directly. But in material world, he assists living entities as Paramatma.
Okay. No one is talking about Brahman though.
Krishna is like Brahman is the bodily effulgence of Krishna. So first Krishna has to be there. In the first expansion, himself is Balaram, and then consecutively like Paramatma is Shiva Daksha Vishnu. So he comes much later. Plenary of the plenary.
He comes later, but is his form eternal or not?
Yes.
Is eternally there. Before creation, is Shiva Daksha Vishnu there or?
Which creation, Prabhuji? Ha, yes. Yes.
He may not be functioning in the role.
He's there.
No? But he's there.
Yes.
Okay, read that sentence again.
Consideration
of the Paramatma and impersonal Brahman arose after the creation.
Consideration. Which means, consideration means a perception of the absolute truth as Paramatma and Brahman that arose after living entities were actually got their bodies. I cannot say living entities were created. But living entities came out after creation of this material world. You need less than perfect living entities to perceive the perfect absolute truth in a less than perfect way, which gives rise to the perceptions of Paramatma and Brahman. But otherwise, the Supreme Lord is there. Just like someone may say, hey, look that light. He may look at the train and say, look that light. So, And someone may say, hey, look, that long stretch of some object which seems to be moving. Someone else may say. But the train has existed before people saw that train from a very long distance and from a slightly longer distance. It's always existed. But after these people saw the train, the perception of the train being a light and the train being a long object, that arose after less than perfect living entities or conditioned living entities started observing the perfect train less than perfect from a less than perfect vantage point. So someone sees it as light, someone sees it as a long object. But the train existed always. That is my understanding of the statement. It could have multiple meanings. Prabhupada does not give a purport to every statement that he makes. But there could be more than one answer. What Prabhupada had in mind, only Prabhupada knows. But this is what comes to my mind. And I am sharing this with you. It could have been Prabhupada, quite possible that Prabhupada had something else in mind also when he wrote this. But definitely the when Bhagavan is there, the Brahman feature is also there. The Paramatma feature is also there. But to perceive that complete supreme personality of Godhead as Brahman and as Paramatma only needs less than perfect created living entities to perceive the absolute truth in that particular way. Correct? Yeah. So, yeah, and also the creation needs to start functioning for the Supreme Lord. The same Supreme Lord only functions in the role as Paramatma also, right? So, before creation, there is no living entity who has the subtle and gross faculties to observe anything. And they all are sleeping inside the body of Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. And also the Paramatma form of the Lord, he's not acting in his role as Paramatma also. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha ar sarva loka maheshwaram. So he's, nothing has been created. So there is no created world for him to control. So that Supreme Lord is busy with his internal potencies. He is not working in his, he is not acting in his role as Paramatma also, because the manifest creation has not manifested yet. Is that clear or is it confusing? I don't know. You can share, please.
Probably I have one question.
Yeah.
So means what in this material world, even though when the Lord expands, it has to be there, that expansion has to be there in the spiritual world. Does that mean that we are saying that Shuradakshaya Vishnu is there eternally? But means my point is that is it necessary that, because Lord can expand in this material world also, no? Like why he like Leela Avataras, we can understand that they are there on the top. Is it that this Purusha Avataras also has to be there in the spiritual world, then only they can... you got my question for you?
Yeah, I got your question. See, just that, see, let's say someone has a someone is a doctor, let's say he has a clinic, and during the day from morning 10 a.m. to evening 5 p.m. he has his clinic open. So when the clinic is closed, the doctor does not vanish. Then he goes home to interact with his own family members, not in the role of a doctor, but in the role of a husband, in the role of a father, in the role of a brother, in the role of a son, like that. So therefore, Shirodaka Sai Vishnu is there, but he is acting in the role of Paramatma only after creation. When creation is not there, he is interacting with his internal energy. Same with Karanodak Sai Vishnu. That is why when there is time for creation, the material energy goes and tries to wake up the Supreme Lord, where it is mentioned that he is in Yoga Nidra, meaning he is in holy communion with his internal energy. So he is there. So just that he is not playing the role of just like if you go to that clinic and say, ask the compounder, is the doctor there? And he says the doctor is not there. It's not that the doctor is not there at all. He is no longer currently not performing the role of doctor. He is at home performing the role of a family member. That's what it means. So the Lord is there. He may not perform the role of Paramatma because there is no need for that as of now. Like that. That's how it is explained in the Chatushloki also. Aham eva sam eva agre. If you read the explanations, that's how it is explained.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay, Muktakesh Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji. Some more just like that. My question is like, so whenever we say that Lord's every form is eternal.
Except the universal form.
Yeah.
And the any form which is which manifests out of his internal energy is an eternal form. And any form which is a manifestation of his external energy, that in one sense cannot be strictly called his form. You can say like the universal form, that is not an eternal form. So when we say there is no need for Paramatma before creation, just like there is no need for a doctor in the middle of the night, like that, something like that. So that does not mean the doctor takes birth at 10 o'clock in the morning and he dies at 5 p.m. in the evening. The doctor exists, but he does not perform his role of a doctor before 10 a.m. and after 5 p.m. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, they don't have their planets, na? They are just means where they are in the spiritual world. These Purushottara.
Okay. Where they are exactly? Haribol?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, I suddenly lost. I suddenly lost the connection, and then along with that, the thing also went.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm answering, I have to keep scrolling this. Okay. So, what was your question? So, do they have their own planets? Where do they stay? See, actually, it is mentioned even Dhruvaloka, even during destruction, it is not destroyed. So, possibly they stay there. See, it is there given somewhere. But I remember reading it also. But I don't know. And also, the Karana ocean is actually eternal in one sense. So, Karanodaka Sai Vishnu can be there also eternally. Even though the Garbhodaka ocean is manifest only when the creation. So there must be some description somewhere. I am not very sure. But these are eternal forms which are products of internal energy of the Supreme Lord. So definitely they are eternal. But where exactly they stay, I am not very sure. I will try to find that out. If someone already knows, you can please share. I know at least the Dhruvaloka is eternal, even during destruction it remains. But anyone would like to share? You have heard something or you have read something somewhere?
Yeah, No, bro, just a thought came in the mind that the yogis, those who meditate on Paramatma, so their goal is to like attain the Paramatma, so they can go somewhere to Sri Raksha Vishnu, so he must be having some planet also.
Generally, those yogis who meditate on the Paramatma, they want to merge in the Brahmajyoti.
Yeah, but there are some who also want to attain Vaikuntha in Shantarati or like Sukhaeshwara.
They go to Vaikuntha.
By Vaikuntha, huh? Yeah. So Vaikuntha might be having different forms then, because Vishnu forms are only.
Yeah, that's quite possible. Yeah. Is that okay? Anything else? Okay. Hari Bhakti Guru, you can read the purport.
As firmly declared in the Bhagavad Gita 18.55, the Lord can be understood only by Bhakti Yoga. The ultimate cause, the supreme cause of creation, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can be understood only by Bhakti Yoga. He cannot be understood by speculative philosophical research or by meditation, since all such processes came into existence after the material creation. The impersonal and localized conceptions of the Supreme Lord are more or less materially contaminated. The real spiritual process, therefore, is Bhakti Yoga. As the Lord says...
Can you repeat that previous line once more?
The impersonal and localized conceptions of the Supreme Lord are more or less materially contaminated.
Okay. We were already reading the purport, right? From the purport only we actually we started the discussion. Which was the statement in which we paused?
Consideration of Paramatma and impersonal Brahman arose after the creation.
Now you continue reading.
The real spiritual process, therefore, is Bhakti Yoga.
No. From that statement, you again continue reading. The conception of impersonal Brahman and Paramatma arose after creation. Creation. Okay. Then from there, continue.
Before the creation, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead existed.
Okay.
As firmly declared in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord can be understood only by Bhakti Yoga, 18.55. The ultimate cause, the supreme cause of creation, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can be understood only by Bhakti Yoga. He cannot be understood by speculative philosophical research or by meditation, since all processes came into existence after the material creation.
You see, now Rupad explains what it means. The conception, the conception of impersonal Brahman and Paramatma came after creation. He's elaborating on that point. Read further.
The impersonal and localized conceptions of the Supreme Lord are more or less materially contaminated. The real spiritual process, therefore, is Bhakti Yoga. As the Lord says, Bhaktyamam Abhijanati, only by devotional service can I be understood. Before the creation, the Lord existed as a person, as indicated here by the word Aham. When Prajapati Daksha saw him as a person who was beautifully dressed and ornamented, he actually experienced the meaning of this word Aham through devotional service. Each person is eternal because the Lord says that he existed as a person before the creation, agre, and will also exist after annihilation. The Lord is a person eternally. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur therefore quotes these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.13.14. Na chantar bahiryasya na purvam na pichaparam purva param bahishchantar jagato yo jagachayaha tam matvat majam avyaktam martyalingam adokshajam. The personality of Godhead appeared in Vrindavan as the son of Mother Yashoda, who bound the Lord with rope just as an ordinary mother binds a material child. There are actually no divisions of external and internal for the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sachidananda Vigraha. But when he appears in his own form, the unintelligent think him as an ordinary person. Although he comes in his own body, which never changes, the mudas, the unintelligent, think that the impersonal Brahman has assumed a material body to come in the form of a person. Ordinary living beings assume material bodies, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Consciousness, it is stated herein that Samnyana Matram, the original consciousness, Krishna consciousness was unmanifested before the creation. Although the consciousness of the Supreme Personality of God is the origin of everything. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 2.12, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Thus, the Lord's person is the absolute truth in the past, present and future. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes two verses from Matsya Purana. Nana varano haristve ko bahushesha bhujaurupat asillayet netto sukshma rupam shriyambina asupta asupta ivacha miritaksho bhavaddari anyatrana darad vishnau shrishcha lineva kathyate sukshmatvena harausthanallinnam linam anyad apishyate. After the annihilation of everything, the Supreme Lord, because of his Sachidananda Vigraha, remains in his original form. But since the other living entities have material bodies, the matter merges into matter and the subtle form of the spirit soul remains within the body of the Lord. The Lord does not sleep, but ordinary living entities remain asleep until the next creation. An unintelligent person thinks that the opulence of the Supreme Lord is non-existent after the creation. But this is not a fact. Opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains as it is in the spiritual world. Only in the material world, is everything dissolved. Brahma Lina, merging into the Supreme Brahman, is not actual Lina or annihilation. For the subtle form remaining in the Brahman, effulgence will return to the material world after the material creation and again assume material form. This is described as Bhutva Bhutva Priliyate. When the material body is annihilated, the spirit soul remains in a subtle form which later again assumes a material body. This is true for the conditioned souls, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains eternally in his original consciousness and spiritual body.
Yeah. Okay. Any comments, discussions?
Probably that where Prabhupada says that the material concept of this is material or that concept of Brahma.
It was not there. Yeah, it came only after creation, like that, right?
After that, it is like material concept. Show me contaminated. So I was thinking, is that Prabhupada is referring to the, since all such processes came into existence after the material creation, the impersonal and localized conception of Supreme Lord are more or less materially contaminated. So,
Perception of the absolute truth as being only Brahman or only Paramatma is a materially contaminated, that you see that in the, that is due to materially contaminated vision. But the Brahman feature is eternal.
So, Prabhupada is talking about the processes. And meditation.
Because ordinary person cannot perceive even the Brahman feature or Paramatma feature.
Mm-hmm.
You still need some spiritual process to actually perceive the Brahman feature or Paramatma feature.
Prabhuji, they are given, this process are given in the Vedas, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So Vedas are eternal.
Vedas are eternal, but you need people who read Vedas who eternally possess senses to read them also, no?
So it is there, like the same example what you gave of doctor and clinic. The same.
Yeah. Because when the living entities are inside the body of Mahavishnu, Vedas are there. But can they read those Vedas? They cannot. So like that.
Yeah.
So post-creation only they will get their bodies, subtle senses, gross senses. To actually, and even within that, access to Vedas should also be there. Okay.
But
shall we move ahead?
Which are?
Only one question. In Prabhupada's translation, Prabhupada mentions that consciousness was unmanifested. Before the thought only existed and consciousness was unmanifested. In a dream. But Lord is always conscious.
It's there in the translation.
No, that is consciousness of living entities. Probably.
Living entities, that's what I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Prabhupada writes in word to word.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's what I also thought. He must, it must refer to the consciousness of the living entities only. Okay. So shall we move on to the next verse?
Yes, sir.
What is the time?
11:57.
Oh, 11:57?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Okay. Do we have time for one more verse? How long is the purport?
Purport is half page only.
Shall we do one more verse?
Yeah.
Okay. Mayananta gune nante gunato guna vigraha yadasi tata evadya samabud ajaha. When the universe came into existence from my material energy, my gunato, so agre, the state before creation was described. Now what happens after creation? The Supreme Lord is indicating to Prajapati Daksha, when the universe yada guna vigraha asit, the universe is said to be personification of gunas, which is literal. Literally, it's a personification of gunas. My gunato, from my material energy, when the universe came into existence, anante, within the unlimited Lord, ananta gune, of unlimited qualities, ajaha swayambhu, then the self-manifest Brahma, adhyaha, and etc., other prajapatis, his sons, etc., samabhud, they took birth, tataha, within this universe. So he says, okay, initially only I existed, then from my material energy, the material universe manifested, then subsequently only Brahmaji and the other prajapatis manifested. Okay, so Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, having told of his Swarupa, the Lord now speaks of how he begins the creation. Gunataha means from Maya. The totality of all matter, the universe, Guna Vigraha, came into existence from Maya. Then within the universe, Brahma and you, Prajapati, Daksha also, you took birth. Like that. Purport?
This is a description of the history of the universal creation. The first cause is the Lord Himself, the Supreme Person. From Him, Brahma is created and Brahma takes charge of the affairs of the universe. Universal affairs of the material creation depend upon the material energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is therefore the cause of the material creation. The entire cosmic manifestation is described herein as Guna Vigraha, the form of the Lord Lord's qualities. From this, from the cosmic universal form, the first creation is Lord Brahma, who is the cause of all living entities. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya describes the unlimited attributes of the Lord. Pratyekasho gunanam tu nisimmatva iryate adanantyam tu gunatas chette chantahi sankhaya ato nanshnur gunato ananta evacha parasyaktir vivideva shuyate. The Lord has innumerable potencies, all of which are unlimited. Therefore, the Lord Himself and all His qualities, forms, pastimes and paraphernalia are also unlimited. Because Lord Vishnu has unlimited attributes, He is therefore called Ananta.
Okay. Okay, so any parting remarks before we end today's session?
Lord is also answering in His language only.
Acha, which language? Can you?
Language means the way he offered prayers. Daksha.
Oh, acha.
And okay. Also that, in that
I'm unlimited. I'm infinite.
Correct. Yeah, quite possible. Yeah, I didn't notice that. I didn't think about it. Yeah, correct. You're right. Okay. So thank you very much for your patient listening. So we will meet again tomorrow, same time, 11 o'clock. And writing your exams. So once in a while, if it is possible.
Questions will take from Balbhadran Pro, no?
Yeah, questions take from Balbhadran Pro. Yeah. And till now, till 5th canto, everyone has written exam?
Yes.
And 6th canto, also once in a while, at least every 4 or 5 chapters, please send me some your mark list or something like that, just so that I know that you all are writing exam. I know you all are very sincere, but still they should not say that, you know, that which should have been completed in 1 year, Balram Shakti Prabhu did not complete in 3 years also, and then on top of that, these devotees did not write exams also. So, you know, this would be